Welcome to episode 120 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on April 5th, 2019. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. Today, we dive into some of the latest announcements around Teams and Kaizala, and then discuss the changes that are happening in all of the various management portals for Office 365 and Microsoft 365.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
We're all still here.
Yeah. It's another Friday. We made it. We're alive. We're kicking. We got another rating and review in iTunes. We are up to a grand total of 4 customer reviews.
Wow.
Although, yeah, I mean, technically, are they really customers for a podcast that's free?
They would be listeners.
Yeah. Apple still has to get that right. This is from, I don't know, it's MTG0711. Is that meeting 7-Eleven?
Sure.
Is that a meeting at 7-Eleven?
You get a Slurpee and you're good.
Oh, no, wrong one. Sorry. That's not for meeting 7-Eleven. That's an old one. QBNC, I don't even know how you pronounce this. I'm not even going to try. But he said it's awesomeness in a podcast. Congratulations, Scott. You are awesomeness in a podcast.
Oh, no, I think he's talking about you.
Or he signed up for the wrong podcast. No. He said, he can't explain how great this podcast is and keeping him up to date and knowledgeable, or it's a her. Sorry, gender neutral. I cannot explain how great this podcast is in keeping me up to date and knowledgeable about all the different aspects of Microsoft 365, essential for any IT cloud pro.
Ooh, well, let's get into Microsoft 365 then.
Yeah, so thank you, QBN. We appreciate it. Anybody else that wants to go, just, I don't know, give us a pat on the back because we're lonely IT pros sitting in our bedrooms. No, we appreciate it. It's always fun to read those, know that people are listening, enjoying it, getting stuff out of it.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudIT.
So, speaking of M365, like you said, dive into it. Should we talk about Shazam, otherwise known as Kaizala? Or Kaizala? Or Kaizala?
Is that how you say it? I still don't know how to...
I don't know. We can stick with Shazam.
I know not how to say said word about said product.
It's, you know what, though? You may not have to know much longer. I have a cold. I'm fighting a cold.
Not much longer. You know, only 18 months from now, will it be rolled into Teams? Maybe.
It might be 12.
Kind of, sort of.
I think they said 12 to 18, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, let's take that to really mean like maybe 24.
So really 18 to 24? Is it kind of like Planner going into GCC that was supposed to be there like 9 months ago?
You know, Teams is one of those weird ones. I think the messaging from Microsoft has been, you know, we have under-promised and over-delivered, but it's really a little bit of the other scenario, I think, from the customer side, particularly if you were needing a lot of that functionality when it came to calling features or certain things within the old Skype entitlements that just didn't work and still kind of sort of don't within Teams, right? You know, so it's a little bit of, hey, we overpromised and underdelivered. And, you know, I always get a little bit sketchy when it comes to some of those roadmaps. But yeah, that first line worker chat product that's available for all of the Office 365 commercial customers, like they've rolled that into E3s and E5s and things like that. And it's going to be coming to Teams. Who's excited?
Yes, absolutely.
It's just what I was waiting for.
Well, and it looks like now it's actually globally available. Because remember when it was generally available, but not really globally available? Now it's globally available and generally available, just in time for it to roll into Teams. This is one of those, we recorded that podcast and neither one of us understood the purpose of Kaizala, Shazam, whatever. And we had made that comment. We're like, well, isn't Teams kind of fulfill this? What's the point? What's the market for this? And I maybe even Microsoft started hearing that from more than just us, is that there was just some confusion around, hey, why do we have these two different chat products that have a lot of similar functionality when it comes to bots and add-ins and all of that? It kind of does make sense to roll them together into a single product or somehow merge them. I guess we'll still have to see how this comes together. Is Kaizala going to be a tab in Teams? Is it eventually just going to fold into Teams? It doesn't really say, I don't think, how all of this is going to come together. It's just going to come together.
At some point in the future, there will be this thing or something that goes ahead and comes over. Hey, if it leads to improvements in the Teams app, I'll take it.
Or is it improvements to Kaizala?
Well, the improvement is it goes away, right?
That's true.
You know, who knows? Great product, bad product, whatever. At least it simplifies the landscape of things and places you have to tell people to go. Because Office 365 still has that problem where one workload does something and then there's a complementary piece of functionality in another, or a very similar thing, right? There's a lot of overlap between products. So anything that simplifies it for the user community, for administration, great. All about it, right? Consolidate all the things.
Yes. You're trying to get me to go on my rant already, aren't you?
I'm leading you into it. It's not like I'm baiting you, but just take the worm. Take the chum, whatever you got to do.
Take the worm and run with it.
Yeah.
About my post-podcast rant along similar lines of merging and overlapping and all of that. Should we move on from Kaizala to Teams? Okay. So Security and Compliance Center. I need to go find a link that we can put in the show notes about all of this. But they are breaking up Security and Compliance Center. This isn't really new news, but it's probably rolled out in the last month or so. And I've started playing with it. So Security and Compliance Center used to be one product, protection.microsoft.com, if I remember right.
Yep, you got it.
Or protection.office.com.
That's the one.
They are breaking this up into two products now. It's protection.office.com, not microsoft.com. Okay, they're breaking this up into two products, Compliance Center and Security Center. Kind of makes sense from a security standpoint. The reason they gave, and I guess I kind of get this, although we had some other opinions about this, is your compliance people aren't always security people. Your security people aren't always compliance people. So let's make two centers. You can secure them separately so you can give your compliance people access to the compliance center, security people access to the security center. Well, this is like some of the products we're seeing more and more from Microsoft where they decide to do this, but they don't move all the functionality over. So as of right now, today, on April 5, 2019, you have compliance.microsoft.com, you have security.microsoft.com, and you have protection.office.com. Security and Compliance Center, they've started adding new functionality to, started integrating with like Cloud App Security, some of those, bringing a whole bunch of new stuff into here. But the problem is they didn't bring over some of the old stuff. So the big one, I use it all the time, is the Unified Audit Log. The Unified Audit Log is not in the new Security Center. I think that's where it's going to land. It makes sense to me. Although sometimes the Unified Audit Log can also be compliancy stuff. I don't know where it's going to land, but right now, to get to it, my tenant, I have to go to either the Security Center or the Compliance Center. Then I have to go to more resources. Then I have to go to Office 365 Security and Compliance Center, which is the old Security and Compliance Center. It's not the new one. The Unified Audit Log isn't in the new one. So if I was looking for my Unified Audit Log, I actually couldn't find it. I was like, well, I could just go straight to protection.office.com, but that doesn't make a lot of sense. It is hiding under this more resources. So this is another one of those scenarios to me where it's like, I get having to break them up, but before you change it all or before you kind of hide the link to my old stuff, make sure all the old stuff that I use every day or all that old stuff is in the new Security Center, the new Compliance Center. Maybe the Unified Audit Log is actually in there and I just haven't found it yet. But if that's the case, it needs to be a little bit more visible. I don't know. It's bizarre. And I also found that in the new Security and Compliance Center, there's a lot of reporting, but a lot of that functionality, even around, I'm trying to think what it was, but different functionality, there's a link for it in the new Security and Compliance Center, but it's all read-only in the new centers. And if you want to go actually edit anything, you still have to go back to the old protection.office.com. It just feels like this weird, middle-of-the-road, incomplete rollout of the functionality to me. Again, I get having to move quickly, wanting to innovate quick, but for admins, it seems like it causes a lot of confusion. A lot of confusion for me, a lot of confusion when I'm trying to explain to people where to go for different things. When you have this overlapping, incomplete type of deployment of these new admin centers or new functionality.
Yes. The joys of using SaaS products, right? And moving at the speed of the cloud. So it's one of those, we all kind of have to just go with it, right? Because you don't have any choices there. You bought the product and you're locked in. So one of those frustrations, right, with, hey, who moved my cheese, is the front-end UIs move much faster than the back-end APIs. So for things like audit log search, maybe it's more helpful to you or to others who can serve audit log search and like, I don't know where they're going to move the button today or tomorrow, and get in the habit of just using the PowerShell commandlets that are out there, right? So there's, you know, commandlets for searching the audit log in the Exchange Online PowerShell module.
Unified log search, I think it is, or unified search.
Search dash unified audit log. So, yeah. Yep. Things like that, right? Get used to doing it in the ways that are going to be consistent. Like, let's be honest, the API for Exchange is pretty baked. It's not going anywhere for a little while. And when it does, it's going to have to go somewhere at a much slower pace than a front-end UI thing where designers can come in, they can, you know, design new websites and move things around. I wish they were better understanding that they have all these roles within the system. And it was really confusing, even when there was just one security and compliance center at protection.office.com, because you would come in and then you would still have all these additive roles that you'd have, you know, e-discovery managers and case managers and all this just extra stuff to go ahead and get in there. And they were never very good about saying like, hey, here's the things that you need to turn on or what needs to happen along the way. I look at it and it's always great when you have a single pane of glass, right? It is nice to have one place to dive in and look at all that information, whether it's read-only or something you interact with. Like you might go and create a new label and a retention policy and then want to hop over and do a search for some other content just to see like, hey, do I need more labels or more retention or what's actually going on out in my environment? Do I need to hop over to the audit log and do investigation that way? Whatever it is, I wish they were better at the just let's read the roles and maybe have everything in the same portal and just kind of show and hide based on who you are, right?
Right.
Let's go back to the old days of dynamic web pages and portions of web pages. Like they know how to do that. They had SharePoint and web parts with audience targeting, you know, security through obscurity, or heck, like you understand the role of the user and who they are. Just hide the div on the page. Like, if they don't need to see it, it's okay.
It's still kind of goofy because I can go into the compliance center or the security center and go look at the permissions for those. And both of them have the exact same permissions listed out. Global admin, compliance, data admin, compliance admin, security operator, security reader, security administrator. So even though they're two different centers, the same permissions, security roles show up in all of them. Maybe this will change and eventually I'll only see security roles in the security center, compliance roles in the compliance center. It just, for how quickly they changed the navigation in the admin center, I guess this is maybe my biggest gripe, for how quickly they changed the navigation to admin center and sending you to these individual portals. These individual portals seem like a very immature, incomplete rollout for how quickly they changed the navigation.
Yeah.
Or they should have just left all three in there. Yeah.
Well,
this should have been done differently. And I can't always put my finger on how or why, but it's a challenge for end users, admins, to figure out sometimes.
It's even a challenge, let alone figuring out like where you go in the UI, like if you're just going to click around. You know, if you pull up things today, like the security and compliance documentation hub, right? It's like the one place on docs.microsoft.com to go for this information. It immediately starts diving into not holistic views of your world, but very specific use cases, right? So I want to search for content and I want to use content search. I want to manage data governance. So I'm looking at retaining data as a part of data governance. I'm looking at protecting information and I need to look into data loss prevention or DLP and go ahead and dive into things those ways. But you go ahead and you start reading some of that documentation and it's gotten to the point now where even in like the documentation hub, it just says go to the Security and Compliance Center. And you're like, well, how do I actually get to the Security and Compliance Center? Because you never told me how to get there.
Yeah, which brings us up. We should throw a link. I don't think we ever threw a link in the show notes to this. There is somebody that put together a list of all the admin centers and links to all the admin centers across Azure, I think Office 365 was in there.
Yeah, there was all the Intune stuff in there. So yeah, it's just a little gist out on GitHub.
Yeah, I've added some to it. He will, if you have other admin centers that aren't listed there, you can do a pull request to update it. So I added a couple admin centers.
Correct, a PR. Look at you. We're going to turn you into cloudy dev yet.
Scary. Thinking it's going back to our adaptability thing and me starting to play with GitHub and do pull requests. But it is amazing the list of admin centers out there, but this can be really helpful for those types of scenarios where it's like, go to the Security and Compliance Center or go to this admin center and you're like, I don't know where it is. If you bookmark this, star this repo on GitHub, it is a pretty comprehensive list that points to some of those admin centers that, frankly, some of them I haven't found links to anywhere other than in the documentation. When you're reading through docs.microsoft.com and it says, hey, go here to do this administration, you're like, huh, there are no links to that from anywhere else that I know of. You just kind of magically have to know about that URL. Some of those are listed in this GitHub. It's a handy resource if you're looking for some of these different admin center location URLs.
Yeah, we'll definitely toss that in there. That came out of I think I sent that one to you. Found out on a Reddit discussion.
You did, yeah.
Mover is a cloud migration company that specializes in moving your company's files from file servers or cloud storage like Box, Dropbox, and Google into Office 365. Their patented technology makes Mover the fastest OneDrive file migrator in the world. Moving dozens of terabytes of data a day is a breeze. Use Mover's free, industry-leading migration guides or ask for a managed migration and they'll take the lead. With Mover, all your data is secure and intact. Running completely behind the scenes, you don't lose time, money, or hair while you transfer. Scan, plan, migrate, report. Migrations that don't suck with Mover. Visit mover.io for more info.
So what other fun news? We can be done with my ranting. We'll go on to fun stuff.
Just like that, you're done already.
I'm done. I'm tired of ranting.
Here I was hoping for like some internet gold, but all right, fine. You can be done. Hey, why don't we keep talking about portals? I hear there's this new Microsoft 365 Admin Center that's going to be the new default soon.
You're trying to get me to rant some more, aren't you? You are doing everything you can to get me to keep ranting.
You asked me to talk about new things, and it's literally a new thing. It says new in the article title.
Yes. So this is a new one that is coming to certain tenants. They are rolling out the new admin center. And this one I have been playing with for a while. I don't mind the new admin center. Some of the links that actually allows you to do some more customization to your left nav. It hasn't changed a whole lot once you drill past the surface. Like if you go start looking at your services and add-ins and your billing and your resources, your user management, all of that type of stuff, there's some minor differences, but all in all, it's pretty similar. The tiles, they've kind of updated the tiles a little bit. I think they've given it kind of the, you know how they've started trying to simplify I can't remember if they call it the minimal UI or some of that in some of the new Office products. They've kind of made the admin center similar to that. I actually don't have many rants about this. The way you interact with users is a little goofy in terms of assigning licenses. It took me a little bit to get used to that because now when you open up a user in your tenant, you have, instead of having it all scroll top to bottom where it's stacked on top of each other, like their account information, their devices, licenses, Exchange, OneDrive. Now it's five links across the top. So the nice thing is you don't have to scroll. You just kind of click through them, and it has a separate, almost a separate pane now for all of them, where you can manage all their licenses and apps and their location. I think it kind of simplifies some of the user management, but this really is a nice admin portal. I don't have too many complaints about it. It is rolling out to tenants with, was it fewer than 25 or 50 users? It's rolling out to the smaller tenants first as the new default, and then it'll slowly roll out to larger tenants. And I don't see the number in this blog post.
Yeah.
I think I saw it on Twitter or something.
Just to take a step back, we're talking about admin.microsoft.com.
Yep.
So the Microsoft 365 Admin Center. And the new preview look and feel for that. So for those tenants where it's not the default experience, there is a little radio button, on-off button, whatever you want to call it. When you can, if you have rights to sign into that property, that web property, you can go ahead and check that box or flip that bit, and then you'll have access to this newer experience that you were just describing.
Yeah, it's just up in the little or upper right-hand corner of admin.microsoft.com, preview on, preview off. I think it's a toggle switch. I don't know.
I don't know what to call it. It's an on-off button, right? Flip the bit.
Exactly. So it is. It's my biggest gripe with this. So I think it was the day this article came out, the new admin center wasn't actually working. I had it in two or three tenants where I'd go to admin.microsoft.com and I'd get my navigation on the left side, but the main content area with all my tiles, panes of information was just a random error with a correlation ID that said, hey, this is broken. I don't know, maybe a whole bunch of people hit it at the same time, but something happened. I think it was the same day this article came out where it wasn't working for a day or two. Lately, it's all been working again. No issues with it on my side. So yeah, again, go check it out. You might already have it as your default admin center. If you don't, if you want to get a preview of what's coming, go turn the preview bit on.
I have found that back to when I said, hey, maybe you want to use PowerShell with the audit log, things like that.
Yep.
I find myself more and more when I think about Office 365 tasks and really something like licensing. I've been using just straight up Azure AD, and you can go to like the customized Azure AD portal, just, you know, aad.portal.azure.com, to go ahead and do all that stuff anyway for a long time now, or using the graph commandlets or whatever it happens to be along the way, just because I got so tired of all this crap moving around and being in different places and everything else. So eventually that one time that maybe I do need to initiate a sign out because a user got hacked, I'll remember that, oh yeah, there's this other weird admin center and I got to come in. And even though I want to sign them out of Office 365, I got to remember to go to the OneDrive tab for the blah, blah, blah user and hit initiate sign out. You know, so for like one-offs, things like that, for like day-to-day management of users, groups, SharePoint, you're in the SharePoint admin center, Exchange, you are in the Exchange admin center, whatever it happens to be. Like realistically, that's where you are. Like Teams, you're in the dedicated Teams and Skype for Business Admin Center. I almost forget that the main one even exists sometimes. Like, because it's just a glorified link catcher, right? All it does is click links and open new windows anyway. So I might as well just open the new window and be done with it.
It'll be interesting to see if they maybe start trying to redirect people into Azure AD. That is one new thing too, or different Security and Compliance Center. When you do go to the permissions and those to assign permissions, it doesn't let you do it there. It actually says, if you go click to Compliance Administrator, it'll say, hey, here's all the users that are in here. If you need to manage the members, here's a link to Azure AD to go manage the members of this security group in Azure AD.
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant, right?
Exactly. So another news announcement, this one I've actually been looking forward to. I need to go try it out. It showed up in my email. It was a message in my admin center, I think earlier this week. But they are actually finally rolling out the integration between To-Do and Planner. So this was, in my mind, this is helping to simplify some of the task management. While you still have two different places you can add tasks, you can see the integration of everything starting to come together. So now you can flag emails in Outlook, and they'll show up in Microsoft To Do. If you use the new Outlook.com, you'll start seeing the little task button, and this might even be GA now, show up in the upper right where you can click that to open a list of tasks and drag emails into your task list that way. Or now you can go into Planner, and if tasks get assigned to you in Planner, these will now get surfaced in an assigned to me list in To Do. So the way you're starting to see this all surface is Microsoft has these different places where tasks can be placed. Planner, you have it for some of those, the collaborative type scenarios. We're working on a project together. We need to manage all the tasks related to this project, assign them to different people within the project team. This is that team task management, the work management center. Outlook is maybe your personal task. It's tasks. It's emails that come in that need to be flagged as a task. Whatever you have To Do is kind of that visual surface where you can see, get a global view of all of your tasks that you have to do across all of these different backends, whether it's responding to an email, whether it's tasks that you have to work on as part of a project you're working on that's in Planner, or whether you're just adding your own tasks to Do, where it's something like stop at the grocery store and pick up milk, or something around the house, change your furnace filter. Whatever it may be, you can still add and manage tasks right within To Do. So it's nice to see them bringing all of these task management tools together, but then visualizing all those tasks that you have to take care of in a single place, which is turning into Microsoft To Do.
Again, it's nice to have it all consolidated. Like you said, if you use it, it's for you. I really needed them to have like maybe To Do integration for my assigned issues in GitHub, and then I'd be happy. But
maybe that'll come. It's getting there.
Don't use Planner much these days. So.
I don't either. I might have to go take another look at it out of this. My biggest thing was that issue of seeing all of my tasks, and I have emails that I turn into tasks. I actually use a third-party task management software right now. But every once in a while when I see announcements like this, I have to go take a look at it. It's another gripe. For whatever reason, To Do will not work in Chrome. I may have to clear out my cookies. It may be one of those cookies history thing. But I can go to To Do. It'll work for, I don't know, about 10 or 15 seconds. And then the whole web page just crashes. And Chrome says, hey, I can't show you this web page anymore. I can reload it. I think I've cleared my cookies. I cannot keep it running in my Chrome browser for more than a few seconds.
Have you tried Links?
Have I tried Links?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like L-Y-N-X.
Oh, I have not tried Lynx.
Oh, well, do you know what Lynx is?
I don't. Now I'm going to have to go look.
All right. Well, you go look up what Lynx is, and then we'll rant about that joke next week. But
you mean other than the animal? I know about the animal.
No. It would have been better off with me saying, like, go use Netscape Navigator. And
oh, was Lynx an old browser?
Really?
See?
Seriously?
Maybe you're older than me.
I'm going to read you the official description, okay? So Lynx is a text browser for the World Wide Web. Lynx runs on Unix, Mac OS, VMS, Windows 95, 98, NT, and DOS 386 Plus, but not DOS 3.1 or 3.11. It also runs on OS 2, EMX. And the current development version, 2.8.9, is available for testing. It was a open source text web browser. So back in the old days before web pages had pictures on them, you know, it all used to be text all over the place. Lynx was awesome, man. Like, go ahead and fire up just a Linux box real quick and just launch Lynx and try and browse the web if you're looking for some real nostalgia.
I'm looking at it now. Their copyright on their page continues to get updated.
Yeah.
Although it was 2018.
It is still a valid tool. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. 2.9 Dev 1. See, now I'm looking at this. Was January 27 of this year.
Yeah.
So they actually are continuing to develop this.
So not everybody still uses DOS 386 Plus or Windows 95. If you're on Windows 95, there's better ways to do it. If you're still going to your old school VAX every day, you know, maybe it's time to get you upgraded just a little bit, even though that was all awesome. Like VMS was great. But yeah, Lynx is certainly a thing. I'll leave it at that. Taught you something new today.
Somehow you did. Somehow I missed all of this. I've used Netscape and Opera and all of those, but somehow I missed the whole Lynx fad.
No, you just lost a little bit of geek street cred. But let's see if we can lift it up. Do you remember Pine?
Pine. I do remember Pine.
Oh, thank
barely.
Thank goodness. Sorry. At least you did something.
I have lived a little. Opsgility is disrupting cloud training as we know it with their on-demand platform, SkillMeUp. Their new design focuses on a user flow to better support role-based learning paths with these great new features. Real-time, hands-on labs are now included with each subscription to build your skills competence. Hundreds of cloud courses with more added daily to transform your skills for today's cloud-first careers. Role-based learning paths guide you through associated level courses in an easy-to-view layout and tracker. Microsoft Azure and Microsoft 365 certification prep courses and labs to support you leading up to exam day. Learn more and start your free 3-day trial at www.skillmeup.com. And back to Office 365, I don't have anything else. You've completely destroyed my any train of thought I had now.
One more UI-ish thing, since we've kind of been on that
since
track today.
Talking about UI stuff.
Yep. Everybody at this point should be familiar with the new flatter look, the minimal look that's been coming to all the Office products with the icon redesigns, and specifically the icons and the ribbons. I know the product icons redesigned and things like that.
Yes, quick, somebody call Mark Rackley and talk all about icons.
See, there's a joke I don't know.
Oh, you haven't seen that one? Oh, everybody that listens to this, ping Mark Rackley on Twitter and talk all about the new Office icons. It'll drive him nuts.
Excellent. But I'm specifically talking about the ribbon icons and the flatter interface. So tools like Outlook have had that same little flip the bit button for a while now. If you're on the C2R version, the Office 365 version of the Office clients, where you can go ahead and kind of say, hey, show me the preview mode, and it flips and it all comes through and does what it needs to do.
Yep. Only on Windows though. Just to clarify, only on Windows. Mac does not have the little preview button.
Yeah, well, don't worry. You'll get to come along someday.
Okay.
But Windows is the bigger market. So, you know, Apple only sells...
Just slightly. Okay, sorry, keep going.
Yep. So if you've been flipping that little button and you're kind of in the nice preview flat mode and you're like, oh, yeah, I like this. Or if you haven't flipped the button because you're like, oh, yeah, no, I don't like that. Again, moving at the speed of the cloud. In May, that's going to be coming to all of the Outlook clients on the desktops. So Microsoft announced that, you know, that look going to be coming through, just baked in, and they're going to make a couple changes along the way. So customers have been providing feedback, things about maybe like the layouts are a little too wide, depending on the resolution of your screen. So something like an Outlook, like your list of messages might be a little too tall. And, you know, they're offering some tighter spacing options now just to reduce things down. And the tighter spacing one will tighten up things, even like the to and CC and subject fields inside of things. But everybody should prepare themselves that for the monthly channel in May 2019, boom, that's going to go ahead and drop for everybody.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind the flatter look. Keeps me entertained.
It's all good. It's nice to see that there, and Microsoft has solicited that feedback through things like User Voice and whatever else. I think it's interesting that, hey, we're getting ready to drop in May, and this is kind of one of those, the first articles that I can recall in at least a little while that's come through and said, here's some changes we're making on active feedback, and it's like one little thing, right? Like, we're going to tighten up the UI a little bit. There's maybe other things we could fix in Outlook, like stop Outlook from freezing all the time. That'd be awesome.
It doesn't freeze on my Mac. So there.
Oh, there we go. I'm just going to go back to Pine and it'll be fine. Nothing will freeze.
Nothing ever. All right. Well, with that, should we call it a Friday?
We can call it a Friday. I suppose it's time to get back to the real world and do some work anyway.
It is, yeah. And it is Friday. So it's probably a good thing to call it Friday, because who would want to call Friday Thursday?
All right.
And with that lame dad joke, we will end.
Excellent. Well, all right. I want you to give a really hard thought to what you're going to rant about next week. I like this new ranty Ben.
You like the ranty Ben?
It's good for you.
I can have rants. Okay, I'm not going to go down that tangent. It was a Dutch joke, because I am Dutch, and it was a picture that is very true.
All right.
I'll send it to you.
Save it for next week.
All right, I'll do that. We'll talk to you later, Scott.
All right, thanks. Bye, Ben.
Yep, bye-bye.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.